Imran.
Imran, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being
Enron?
here.
Did you say his name, Enron?
What did I say?
No, he said
Imran.
Imran. If you wanted it to be Enron, then I'd actually be not, I would not exist anymore.
No, I think at halftime I get a little tongue-tied.
No, if you said Enron, it would mean
Enron,
my entire history would have been shredded by now.
How are you doing?
And considering very well, and considering the great guest you had before me, I cannot do any better than that. And it's kind of interesting is that she's been down to the Titanic and has thought about going up into space. It's kind of interesting is that my financial dreams were up where the space shuttle belongs, but with the stock market doing what it did, they ended up where the Titanic is.
Oh, that's a riot.
So at
Well,
the very least, I can give her with my experiences, I can give her a run on the stand-up comic routine, except it's not very funny when you're at the receiving end of it.
Absolutely. So what's happening with you? There's quite a lot of political stuff going on. I know that you're also launching a new website, which I'd like you to share with everyone. So
We have to let
where are
people
you?
know Imran's our political guy.
Yes, he's our political man. He's quite the you are quite prolific with your articles and stuff. I was looking at some of them, and my goodness,
Thank you.
phenomenal.
Imran,
And you've also been on CNN and MSN, and
Fox News,
yep.
GOTV, etc. But the most important show is I'm on your show.
Oh.
Imran, I have a
Thank
couple
you.
questions for you, but the thing in Mumbai, were you surprised by that?
No, actually, not at all. Unfortunately, it's something I had been, even in 2001, after September 11 happened, and in 2002, I had been talking to some media friends, and I had said is that the lesson that the Al-Qaeda hijackers had sent to the rest of the world was that if you are a weaker party, if you are under attack, or if you have perceived or real issues with a bigger government, and you do not have an air force and you do not have a military might, then the way to attack that power is economically, and both through symbolic targets and doing damage enough to affect the business. And in that particular case, my suspicion had been that eventually Kashmir, which is the root cause of all issues between India and Pakistan, Kashmir, one word, Kashmir, and that's not the Led Zeppelin song, but the beautiful, beautiful state of Kashmir. That is the root cause, and if that was not solved, I had feared that Kashmiri separatists and independence fighters would attack Bangalore, for example, because there was a lot of visibility of Bangalore in America, and that would help put pressure on India, for example. I guess they did the other target, which was Mumbai. So I was not surprised that an attack took place. That it was Mumbai sort of made more sense because it's the financial capital. Unfortunately, it was still terrorism instead of freedom fighting.
I don't know. What are your hopes for this? I mean, I don't know. It's so complex and it's been going on for such a long time. I mean, do you think that peace between the two countries are possible, or do
Oh,
you see?
absolutely, absolutely. It's pretty simple. Quite frankly, about 60 years ago, or more slightly, Germany was fighting a war. Germany and Japan were fighting a war with America, or America was bombing the hell out of both of those countries, including nuking Japan twice. And today, some of the best cars and the most popular cars that are driven on American roads are built in America for Japanese companies by American workers who proudly work there. And that has happened, that did not happen this year, so obviously that's been happening for 20, 30, 40 years. The same way, India and Pakistan combined have about 1.5 billion people, and that is a huge common market. They do not even have to go outside to try to export their stuff to America or the West or Australia or anybody else. They have enough of a domestic audience and a market that if they put their heads together, they could actually be busy just selling to themselves for the longest period of time. If they would only get rid of the root cause of Kashmir and the billions, and I am saying that with the letter B for boy, billions of dollars that Pakistan and India spend on the maintenance and creation of nuclear weapons, and keeping two very well armed and very well equipped armies in place, that money could go to save the people who die even to this day on the streets of Calcutta, and the homeless and the uneducated who die on the slopes of Kashmir and when an earthquake strikes in Pakistan. So both countries suffer, and both countries have this bogey of each other, which helps the generals get rich, which helps the American military-industrial complex get rich, but not the people of Pakistan and India.
Right. Well, what is it? What's it going to take for them to get together about Kashmir?
That's such a great question, and I have such high hopes for President Obama. I don't even call him president-elect because, to me, he is the only president.
Yes, I know. I saw on your website, what's it, day 33 today?
Right, absolutely. I mean, I don't see anybody else. You know, if ducking shoes makes you a president, we have one in Washington right now. But if ducking global issues, if facing global issues and fighting off, you know, the real issues that we face, in that sense, I see Obama doing more even as a president-elect than the guy we had in the White House for some reason for 8 years. But what it will take, quite frankly, on a more serious note, is Obama. He has said Kashmir is the issue, and that actually did not win him brownie points in India, and that I salute him for, not because I am a Pakistani-born American. I salute him because he is doing things not for a popularity contest. He has already won the ultimate popularity contest on this planet to be a black president of the United States. It is the biggest popularity contest ever. He's already won that. And the outpouring of praise and love for him, he could have actually run for president of the universe, because I know there's not that many voters out there.
No, he definitely had an appeal that's never been seen this side of
ET. Oh, my gosh. ET has changed the whole way that politics are done, the way voting's done, the way – I just went to a community meeting, because he's still having these community meetings, you know, on health care and on energy. I mean, and that's never been done before. So he's just flip-flopped the whole way of doing things.
I wouldn't use flip-flop. That reminds me of John Kerry too much.
Oh.
He has changed the game, absolutely. speaking of Kerry, he is in Pakistan right now, or was recently, working on the India-Pakistan issue, because he's the incoming chair of the Foreign Relations Committee now that Joe Biden is going to be able to talk as vice president of our nation. So I see a huge opportunity for us as Americans and us as people of this planet. We have a great new president that the world almost elected, a global president. For the first time, we will have a president who speaks in complete sentences and speaks English for a change. For the first time, we will have a president who carries weight around the world. And then to have somebody with Joe Biden's experience, and then to have Senator Clinton as Secretary Clinton, Secretary of State Clinton, I should say, because she might be offended, is a huge opportunity for us to tackle the issues head on. And the biggest threat to world peace is twofold. One is the Al-Qaeda threat in general, which is a stateless, faceless, nameless threat that we all face. And then there is the one of a nuclear war between India and Pakistan blowing out of control and getting Russia, China, and eventually America involved. And that all boils down to one word, Kashmir. There are United Nations resolutions on that for 60 years. We bombed Iraq within 5 days of getting a United Nations resolution. Mm-hmm. We have waited 60 years not to solve the Kashmir problem. We cannot afford that anymore.
No, absolutely not.
Now, was Gerald Bull part of any of these, the weapon upgrades that they've had in the Middle East?
The what? I'm sorry?
Gerald Bull. I saw a movie about this guy. He was he developed some sort of big gun, and they wanted to try to sell it to some of the Middle Eastern countries.
Oh, that was the I think, I am not sure about that gun. I do know that India had a Bofors scandal when there was a whole lot of bribery going on to sell big guns to India. And Pakistan has its share of corrupt generals, so I'm sure if there is a crook arms dealer or a military-industrial complex agent willing to sell you something that doesn't work but costs a lot of money, there's plenty of Pakistani generals lining up to buy that.
Wow.
Now,
Just like the United States and India.
We were in Ludhiana last year, and when you walk the streets of Ludhiana, why do you need armed guards? What's the deal with that?
Actually, it's pretty bad, both in India and Pakistan. Pakistan, in some cases, is worse in certain areas like the north of the country bordering Afghanistan, where the Taliban are almost holding power, And a lot of my fellow Americans ask me, oh, you know, why is Pakistan creating the Taliban? And I said, newsflash, rewind your videotapes if you still have one. And the issue is the Taliban are the offshoots of the Mujahideen that Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. with the CIA created with American taxpayer money to fight the Russians. And then we walked away when the Russians lost. And we left that entire region for the Mujahideen to become the Taliban and the hosts of Al-Qaeda, which came back to bite us. And that is a sad thing. What we need is to have us as Americans address two issues. On the one hand, Kashmir to solve the India-Pakistan problem, and two, Palestine. If we get them their homeland, the rest of the Muslim world loses 90% of its gripes against us as Americans. 90%. Will there be people who still hate us? You know what? They're welcome to. I can afford to have 5 or 10% of the world hate us. Right now, we had it up to 90%. Hopefully, with Obama, it will get better.
I was about to ask you that because the night he won the election, I was watching C-SPAN, and they showed some clips from Al Jazeera television. And they were asking the people of Al Jazeera, like, what do they think that Obama would do as far as negotiating peace in the Middle East? And they said they would be patient. They said they understand they're not on the front burner, but eventually they would like to have the issue addressed. Well, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. There is everybody there sort of used to think that America is a country, the government is controlled by a Zionist lobby. And the fact that there is a significant friendship between America and Israel, obviously, is there for us to understand as Americans. But the fact that sometimes American foreign policy decisions are based not in American interest, but in Israeli interest, is what backfires on us. So what we need is to stay friends with Israel, to make sure we defend it against its enemies that it does have. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the billions of dollars that we give from our taxpayer money's pockets, when we ourselves are hurting, are used to leverage Israel to make peace, because that peace, that area, is dangerous for the rest of the world simply because of some of our policies, and we have a chance to bring peace to that region as well as Kashmir.
Hmm. All right. I have to ask you, are you familiar with Saturday Night Live, the show?
Oh, I've been watching it for, I've been here 20 years then.
You know,
I'm still waiting to go on.
You know, one thing that interests me, because I don't know if, they seem to be politically connected to people that write the show. And I saw a repeat one time, and they made a joke about Muhammad Atta, and this is before 9/11. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if the writers of Saturday Night Live were aware of Muhammad Atta, why wasn't the people who were paid to be aware of this man not made aware of this, or what he was up
because
to?
Because they were busy reading children's storybooks upside down, you know. I'm sorry.
They didn't have their eyes on the ball, in other words.
Absolutely. They had the eyes on the ball, but it was the baseball, not the actual ball that was rolling down the hill at us as a country. And it's sad that 4,000 Americans had to die, and then 4,000 Americans had to die in the wrong war, making us even more unpopular.
I know. It's awful. Listen, Imran, our time is almost up, and I know you wanted to talk about your website. We got like a minute left. Do you want to put a plug in for that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always willing to do that. Now,
okay.
And it actually is a good segue, because we're talking about unexpected deaths that came to us on 9/11 and the fact that we can all blow up from a terror attack. In the meantime, I'm a blogger, I'm a photographer, you are a content creator. We always assume we will always have time to create our own legacy and to have the world remember us when we're gone, but we never get around to doing that. So I created Neternity, which is spelled N-Eternity, the letter N followed by eternity.org.
Mm-hmm.
Neternity.org is the only service that enables you to create a free life log honoring your memory, something that you would like to write as a living will that will be released only after your death, and even your last words to your loved ones and friends that will be released after your death. And if you're a blogger and a photographer, we can guarantee you, we can ensure the service that we will actually keep your content alive even if the free web services that you are using go out of business, as some parts of AOL have gone out of business. MSN has shut down a few things. Even Google is shutting down a few services. So we protect you from that. Neternity.org.
That's wonderful. We'll have you back, and you can tell us more about it, because I know you just launched it, right?
Absolutely. It's
and
there, and
our...
I invite everybody to sign up.
Absolutely. We got our next guest waiting to come on. So
no, wait a minute, Imran, before you go, it wasn't true that you threw the third shoe at George Bush, was it?
Not at all. No, I am not a soul brother of that kind.
Oh my God. Well, What a way to go out of office. He's going to be remembered as the attracting the shoe department.
What it shows is that the war in Iraq was a success. The Iraqis are doing so well that they can afford to throw away their shoes.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Naternity.org. Naternity.org, people. Naternity.org.
All right. Good night to you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?